But when it comes to meditator, who fight for their inner freedom, I mean, they're afraid of everything. They're afraid of a little bit of pain. They're afraid of cold. They're afraid of rain. I mean, actually, when you want to see it in a proper way, you know, the path of practice is the path of fighting for freedom, for inner freedom, freedom from dukkha, freedom from avijja, who brings us always this dukkha, freedom from not knowing, freedom from not understanding, freedom from wanting to know or wanting to understand. That's actually the proper translation for avijja. And freedom from not wanting to see, but this kind of freedom you don't want. We don't want to see the things that we don't like to see. And that is also avijja. I mean, that's why we should have mindfulness all day long. To see what we don't like. I mean, if you remember, you've been here a long time. You remember sometimes they say, you know, some parts of our training is to see the things that we don't like and do them. And the things that we like to do, you know, we don't do them. And the same thing with eating. We don't eat the things that we like to eat, but we eat the things that we don't like to eat. Just to bring the kilesas up to a point where they don't know anymore. I mean, where they get confused and where they let us in peace for a while. But they are so clever. They are so, I don't know where they are. Probably in the back of our brains, you know. Constantly ruling us. Constantly telling, you know, the moment the eye sees something, you know, it looks away. Because it doesn't want to see. And it's so fast that we don't catch it. And that's actually when our sati, you know, grabs, you know, hold of it. Ha! Why do you turn your eyes away? Why don't you want to see? Or why do you turn your back on this? Or why don't you want to eat this? I mean, when we are aware, when we are completely aware, then we notice these things and actually can counteract them. And that is one way to get rid of this stronghold or this power of the kilesa. To counteract them. Otherwise we won't get them. I mean, if we want freedom, I mean, people in the world know, you know, if they want freedom, they have to fight for it. And they might lose their lives, or they might lose a leg, or they might lose this or that, or their property or their houses, but they don't care. So that's the same thing for when we want to fight for the freedom of our mind. I mean, we have to really fight, you know, and that we have to lose some parts of ourselves. And in the end, you know, we will lose self. But nobody wants to get rid of self, everybody wants to get rid of dukkha. But the self is the thing that is creating this dukkha. I mean, self is nothing else like sitting in a cinema and watching a movie and attaching to the movie and thinking, this is me, this I like, this I don't like. I mean, where's the self in the movie? There's no self in the movie. There's just things going on, just in front, you know. Just because our eyes are a screen, you know, we think these are us. Just because our feelings are, you know, seem to be so close to us, it must be us. I mean, this spittoon, you know, is very close to me, but it's not me. But we assume it's me, you know, because I can handle it, I can pick it up, I can put it down, you know? I can throw it away, I can use it or I cannot use it. I mean, the same thing holds true for my body. I can pick it up, I can throw it down. I mean, so where's the difference? I mean, just because it is within our reach, we call it us or we call it mine. And feeling, it's the same thing. Body is one thing. I mean, I can move it, so it's mine. But I can move this, so it's mine. It's myself, huh? Is that between myself, huh? But the teeth that are in my mouth, I call mine. This is my teeth, you know. This is my body. I mean, that's where the delusion starts. We see these things, we experience these things, but they are not mine. The Lord Buddha teaches us the three characteristics of this universe: anicca, anatta, dukkha. Anicca: all things are impermanent. All things are constantly changing. They come and rise up, and they stay on, and they vanish. I mean, we know everything is impermanent in this world, even including our body is impermanent. But we don't live to this insight. We try to make everything that what we like permanent. Or if it, you know, we don't want to see this impermanence, so we repair it. We constantly repair it, repair it, repair it. And when we think and we repair it, you know, quite often we think it's impermanent, isn't it? Like our house or car or whatever it is. Or the body, you know. We go and ship it to the doctor and repair it, repair it for me. We get it out of the garage. You know, and then we have the illusion, you know, it's permanent. The small changes we don't see. I mean, the changes in our face or in our body we don't see day by day. I mean, only if we look at pictures that were taken 20 years ago, you know, we do see the changes. Oh, that's what that was. I mean, face up to the reality. Face up to the truth. I mean, if we want to fight for freedom, and this is kind of inner freedom, I mean, we have to go through all the difficulties. Or in other words, we have to swim through the fires of hell, you know, in order to overcome hell. But the question is, you know, when do we stop? I mean, when we put our toe into the fire, when we stop? I mean, it's just a question, when? I mean, we have to swim through. I mean, that is dive in completely with our whole entity into the fire of dukkha, you know, to overcome dukkha. There's no other way. I mean, no matter, you know, for some people it just takes a half an hour. And for some people it takes 10 lives. Because they are so afraid, you know, just like, you know, watching people going into very cold water. I mean, first put the toe in, you know, then let's put the second toe in, the third toe, you know. It takes them for hours to get into the cold water, and maybe they decide on when they're half in, you know, they don't go. And the other person, you know, just, okay, jumps in. That's it. I mean, that is completely up to you. Huh? I mean, the coldness is the same thing. For the person who jumps in, but it's intense, but it's very short. But for the person who takes it slowly, you know, it is intense and very, 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 very long. I mean, so decide for yourself, you know, just jump in, yeah? I'm sorry, but you know, that is the only possibility. To overcome dukkha, we have to understand dukkha. In order to understand dukkha, we have to experience dukkha. I mean, that is what is the meaning of when I say we have to swim through the fires of hell to go to overcome hell. We really have to experience dukkha. What is dukkha? And then we see it, and in the moment we see it, you know, we let go of it. But the more, as long as we don't like it, we can't let go of dukkha. Because this don't like, or this don't, you know, this is too bothersome, you know. It's just a thing that keeps dukkha, you know, constantly on. I mean, turn off the switch, you know, and there's no dukkha. Believing these things are me and mine, and belong to me, you know, is one form of dukkha, one form of that creates dukkha. That is the second characteristic, anatta. Anatta, this is not me, the Lord Buddha teaches us. This is not me, this is not mine, that does not belong to me. And that holds true for all the five khandhas. The five khandhas are not me, are not mine, they don't belong to me. Even though I can experience the body and I can experience vedana, feeling, and I can experience memory and thought and consciousness, they are not mine. It's just, you know, these five khandhas. It is just like things are going on the screen in the movie theater. The person who sits back in the seat is the citta. I mean, of course, without, you know, opening our eyes, you know, we see these things and we instantly associate with them. Isn't it? There's not a movie, you know, that you go into that you do not associate with parts of it. With this person or that situation or this situation. And that's how you get into the movie. And that's why you cry or that's why you laugh. You're not cold-blooded, you know, through the whole time. And that's the same thing, you know, that this movie happens in front of our eyes. It's called the inner movie. It's combined of feeling, it's combined of memories, it's combined of thoughts. So that's why the Lord Buddha gave us this these three characteristics. That things are changing constantly. I mean, a pleasant feeling goes and changes into an unpleasant feeling. An unpleasant feeling goes and changes into a pleasant feeling. I mean, the body from young gets old. And from old gets to die. And from gets to die, you know, gets to be born again. And then gets young again. Wonderful, isn't it? And because we attach to these things, then the third characteristic of dukkha. I mean, all the things, you know, in this universe have these three characteristics. They're impermanent. I mean, even our world is impermanent. You know, we know it by now. Eh? For the last 50 or 100 years, we know it now, that our world is impermanent. And the world does, you know, the world does, the sun does not turn around the world, but, you know, the world turns around the sun. And before we believed everything turns around us. Now we know, we turn around things. The universe itself is not constant. I mean, it has a long time, so we might not see. I mean, with animals, when we have a dog, you know, or when we have a cat, we see it, you know, how fast they die. How fast they grow and how fast they die. With us, ourselves, we don't see it, because we don't observe ourselves. So anicca, anatta, dukkha, especially anatta, this is a very, very helpful method. You can always use it. If a feeling comes and seems to be overpowering, then we just say, this is not me, this is not mine, that doesn't belong to me. Until we have a stance, you know, until we can observe, okay, there is a feeling. That's why the Lord Buddha taught us, you know, to use it. There is a feeling, or there is a body, or there is a sense contact. Or there is, not I am. I am low, I am feeling sad. No, there is a feeling that we normally associate with feeling of sadness. Or there is a feeling with a feeling of joy. But it's not me, it's not mine. Then we can deal easier. As long as we think it's me, we can't deal with it. It's impossible for us to deal with it. You don't cut your own foot. Are you not willing to cut it? So we won't cut it. But if we see these things, you know, a distance a bit, then we can cut it. Okay, there was a feeling. I mean, it was heavy. Okay, there was a heavy feeling. There was this. There was a memory. There was a thought. But they are not me. I mean, they constantly come. Now think about it. You know, if they are me, you know, why? If they are really me, if they are really in my power, then I can, whatever I think, I want to think. Whatever I want to memorize, I can memorize. Whatever I want to feel, I can feel. I can do whatever I want to do with this spittoon, eh? Isn't it? I can throw it away if I don't like it, or I can pick it up, you know, if I like it. But with feelings, we can't. With thoughts, we can't. With memories, we can't. They just come, bang, our head and then our heart. So they are not really us. They are not really me. But we follow them. We think of them as me and mine. And that's why we have this dukkha. If we would just see them, you know, just passing by strangers. Oh, hello, there you are. Bye-bye. I mean, there wouldn't be any problem. So next time a feeling comes, a memory comes, say, hello, there you are, and bye-bye. And it's gone. There's no connection to the next one. The next memory comes up and we say, hello, goodbye. The next feeling comes up, hello, goodbye. I mean, see them as people, or see them as beings, you know, coming up and passing by in front of your eyes, huh? You don't call your friend, you know, that comes close to you, yourself, huh? I mean, he comes, he stays for a while, and then he goes. And you know he's not you, huh? Even if you grab him, even if you touch him, it's not you. So this is a very important concept that we use. That then, in our terms of practice or in our way of practice, there's not a lot that we have to understand. Once we have faith in the teachings of the Lord Buddha, there's not, and we want to do the practice, there's not a lot that we really have to understand. The five khandhas we have to understand. Anicca, anatta, dukkha we have to understand. And the four elements we have to understand, and the four noble truths. That's it. Everything else is just another birth. Just mental masturbation. In other words. And we love that. Don't we? We think about this and we think about that. And hope, you know, by thinking about this and thinking about that, there's some chop. That's why I call it mental masturbation. I mean, we don't think to get sad or distraught, but some people, even that, they indulge into hate, so they take up all these thoughts, you know, about that other person that they hate. And so a lot of hate is coming into their heart. If they would think about a person they love, you know, a lot of love is coming into their heart. Or desire, for most of the people. I mean, this is the thing, you know, how they arise and how they cease. But most of the time we are not in control of what is arising and ceasing. I mean, we have the ability to think about something. If we put our mind onto something, then we can memorize, or we can try to memorize. But most of the time when we try to memorize, we can't find that memory anymore. We know it's somewhere, but we can't find it. And then, you know, sooner or later it comes up by itself, huh? We didn't even ask for it. Our memories, bad memories are coming up we didn't ask for, huh? Our thoughts of this kind, you know, we have thoughts so many times when we don't want to think they come up and they constantly haunt us. So they are certainly not mine, you know. So somebody, who the hell is presenting me? Nothing else than Avicca. I mean, Avicca is in control. You have to understand, when we talk about self, what you call yourself is... That's dukkha. Two cocks fighting, yeah? That's dukkha. Why do cocks fight, eh? It's the same way humans fight. For this or that. Either for food, or for power, or for whatever. Or for a woman, or, for, you know, women fight for men. It's the same thing. For the other sex. That's why we fight. We want to have something, you know, and somebody else takes it away. Or we see somebody else has something, and we want it. So we take it away. I mean, whoever is stronger, you know, can take things away. That's a great life, isn't it? I mean, it's just it's just prone to bring us a lot of dukkha. We see things and we want them, and that not only necessarily means material things. I mean, just look at our university. You know, we try to steal ideas. That's my... I put a patent on it. So nobody else can use my idea. I mean, in the scientific community, I mean that. I mean, the fight is not going on a physical level, but it's going on a mental level. I mean, it's worse. It's sometimes really worse than a physical fight. Yeah, the wounds heal within 3 days, huh? Or if it hits hard, you know, then it takes a few weeks. But the wounds that are engraved in our heart, 2 years, 10 years, we still remember them. He stole my idea. Or he cheated on me. Whatever. Are these mine? You know, these ideas, they are just up in the air. Whoever catches them first, you know? That's what this person calls that mine. And mine. I told you before, you know, I was testing that out. Eh? We had some sort of brainstorming and I had a great idea. And I thought, well, let's see if that idea is really mine. Eh? Just wait, you know, shut down your mouth and wait. And it took only 10 to 15 minutes later until somebody else came up with exactly the same idea. So, it's not mine. It doesn't belong to me. It was just there. And I grabbed it first. And that's why I call it mine. And that's what people are doing. You know? That's what soldiers are doing. Whoever sees it, whoever is in an army, you know, and conquers a foreign land, you know, he just takes the first person who sees something, you know, takes it. That belongs to them. Yeah, it's sort of cruel, isn't it? And what do we have? Nothing. I mean, emptiness is, you know, what is all behind all these things. Be it material things, be it spiritual things, and be it scientific things. It's all ideas. It's only hot air, balloon. Or soap bucket. What is real? I mean, just think about right now, at this very moment, what is real? Close your eyes and look what is real. That's real. Your feelings. Or the thought that comes at this moment. Or the memory that comes at that moment. That is real. The senses you hear. And everything else that you plant out in the woods, you know, is not real. I mean, all the thoughts about the future are not real. Are they just imaginations? Or in other words, you know, put it very bluntly, mental masturbations because we want to have some happiness in the future. I mean, if we want to have some happiness in the future, it tells us exactly that we don't have any happiness right now. Oh. So if we don't have any happiness right now, I mean, there we can actually change things. Right now, in this very present moment, we can change things. About the past, we know we can't change it. I mean, happened already. If you regret it or not, you know, we can't change it. If you have done bad things, you know, we can't change it. The karma will haunt us. But that's okay, it's done. If it was bad, you know, just tell yourself not to do it again, and that's because, you know, it should, you know, give us some peace. But the Kilesas won't give us peace. They always bring up these bad memories. You really have done bad. Then admit it, okay, I have done bad and I won't do it again, you know, and that's the end. You have to tell it, you know, you have to tell it maybe 10 or 20 times or 30 times, you know, until it really doesn't come up again. But don't do it again. That's the only thing. If you do it again, you know, it becomes even stronger. You do it once more, and it becomes even more strong, and then it becomes a habit. That's where things really get worse. There I was thrown out. What was the topic? Huh? Ken, what was the topic?
What's real and what's not real?
Oh.
close your eyes and what's real.
Yes. I mean, do you see what is real? I mean, most of, if it really boils down, if you really are concentrated, if you really have sati or awareness, all what you experience is feeling. Even a thought, you know, will turn into a feeling. Even a memory will turn into a feeling. And that's all what is there. That is what is true. The five khandhas, the five groups, are just the things that we experience. And we have a choice. The moment we practice, we have the choice to make the five khandhas our tools, or to just leave it to the power of avijja. I mean, tools are tools. Everybody can use them. And if you listen to the talks of Tanaja Mahabodh, there are two powers within our heart. That's the power of light, that's the power of Dhamma, and that's the power of darkness, that's the power of avijja, who try to rule that one throne. And the one throne that are the five khandhas. Whoever has the authority can tell the khandhas what to do. Who doesn't have the authority cannot. He has to experience what the other one. Is doing. So, and most of the time we are in the situation that avijja has the power to rule the khandhas. So, and within the khandhas there is the feeling. Or memories and thoughts. So, avijja is bringing up thought. Avijja is bringing up memories. The way it likes. And we have to experience it. The moment we get the power, or the Dhamma gets the power, then we can walk. We can force this body to walk and do walking meditation. Or we can force this body to do sitting meditation and get the mind quiet. And get beyond, or get in the state of Upachara Samadhi, where we are beyond the power of the kilesas, where we have for the first time, you know, some peace and quietness. That's not too difficult. If we center our mind on just one object, then we should be very easily or very fast, you know, be beyond the power of the kilesa. But they come and lure us into. And now this thought is so important. And off we are. This memory, you know, I have to rememorize it, eh? And off we are. Now I have to think about that. What do I do with my future? What is the future like? The future is just like yesterday and just like today. It's breathing in and breathing out. Experiences what is really going on. I mean, for the last 14 years when I'm a monk, I was doing just breathing in and breathing out. Every morning I go and get food, and then I sit and practice meditation, and then I walk meditation, and then I practice meditation, walk meditation, lie down and get food, and so on. It's always the same thing. There's no change. And that is all what is happening within our life. We get food, we get some rest, we wash our body, and we do work. And for a spiritual person or for a practitioner, it is the work of bhavana. That means meditation. Sitting meditation or walking meditation. There are two ways of practicing. Either practicing for samatha, for calm, or practicing for for wisdom. These kind of works does a practitioner have. And when you look at your life, and I invite you now to reflect about your life. When you think about this situation or that situation, what is it? It's a feeling. Boils always down to a feeling. And this kind of feeling you just have right now. That's a feeling. There's a feeling of senses coming in, there's a feeling of this, or there's a feeling of that. Today we have it, tomorrow we have it, yesterday we had it. So we fool ourselves, you know, that there is a future. Don't? And especially if we are young, there's a big future waiting for us. When we are old, you know, we think about the past, you know, how beautiful the past, why make the next future of our next life? No, I don't. Can't say that. I don't want to see how I make my future. It's better. All these little memories about this or memory about that help us, you know, knitting the thread that leads us to the next life. And you don't even see it. You don't even see it because, you know, we are not mindful of what is happening. We are always mindful of what is happening outside of us. I mean, when a person walks by, we are mindful. When the flower changes, we are mindful. But when our heart changes and it constantly changes, we are not mindful. When the citta changes, we are not mindful. I mean, the citta is the most important thing. It's the primary mover. So if you are aware of the citta, we know what is going on. If you are not aware of the citta, we cannot lay hands on avijja. And so we have to experience all the things that avijja presents us. Sometimes it's nice, most of the time it's not nice. You always eat the food that it's on the table, laid out by avijja. It looks great, you know. The moment you eat it, it tastes like shit, because it is shit. It's a magician. Avijja is a magician. You know, it turns out everything with magical power into something that we desire. And the moment we taste it, it's shit. The moment we do something avijja tells us to do, you know, we feel it's disappointing. It doesn't lead to sukha. It doesn't lead to happiness. But avijja constantly promises us, if you do this, it will lead to happiness. If you will do that, it will lead to happiness. Even if it's in a month, or if it's in a day, or if it's in 10 years. I mean, if you work hard, you know, you will get a millionaire, yeah? And what can you do with the money? I mean, you might have money, but you might lose it. So it's constantly promising us. And this kind of promising, if we start on the way of practice, it's there as well. If I use this method, I should go faster to samadhi. If I use that method, you know, it should work better. If I change now my method. But it's the avijja behind it. If we just put our attention into what is the task? The task is to stay focused on one object. I mean, that's the task. But you see avijja creeping in? I mean, I must be just doing something wrong. It's telling us I must be doing something wrong because I don't get the results. And in other words, it's telling us, you know, I'm looking for the results without wanting to do the work. But we don't see it. And that's why we get frustrated, and then we stop it. And avijja has a big laugh in the background. See, it's so easy to make him stop. Oh, put a little pain, you know, ow, there in your leg, ow. Oh, I can't do it, you know, it's too much painful, you know. And then we stop. And avijja has a good laugh in the background. Oh, I see. And that's why it's called a fight. We have to fight it. Whatever kind of food avijja is presenting us on the table, you know, we are not tasting it. We are dismantling it and seeing for what it is. So do we see it, you know, with pain? What is pain? Seeing for what it is. Pain is just pain. Pain is actually something that we constantly experience. Constantly. It's nothing else than some changes taking place in the bodily form or in the mental form. I mean, thoughts constantly change, memories constantly change, you know, and they have different kinds of feelings, so the feelings change. And the change of the feeling we call the pain. If we like the change, we call it the plus. Or desirable. Whatever. I mean, it's just our naming convention, you know, that fools us. So we have to get off the naming convention of the thing. And how to get off the naming convention? The easiest task is just to focus our concentration onto one object. Not even interesting what it means. But that seems so difficult, doesn't it? And then even if we get into the realms of practice, you know, then we call this is samadhi, or this must be a deep insight, or this must be that insight. Or now I must have reached sotapanna. It doesn't mean, it's just words. We're playing around, and we don't realize, you know, playing around with these words, we create a false kind of happiness. Until somebody comes and tells us, no, you're not sotapanna. Falling down into oh no, you're not in line. I mean, just believing makes us happy, though, doesn't it? People who believe in God, you know, it makes them happy for quite a time. Why is it? Huh? Belief is such a strong thing. It's extremely strong. I mean, whatever is true for us is that what we believe. So we have to undermine the things that we believe in and question them. What is that? What do you mean by that? What is that really? What is it really boiling down to? Or what is it in terms of the five khandhas? Is it just a memory? Then it's a memory. Is it just a thought? Then it's a thought. Is it just a feeling? Then it's a feeling. I mean, get the meaning out of sotapanna. What does it mean? Or samadhi, what does it mean? Now, I am the samadhi. Oh, I'm good, you know, I'm much better than the other one. I'm much more experienced in meditation. Huh? I mean, I practice, you know, for 18 years. Huh? And then there comes the person up, you know, who is much better. You know, he has never practiced meditation and he just does it, yeah? With all his determination effort and gets much better results within 2 weeks than us within 20 years. But we still think, you know, we are better because we have practiced longer. I mean, from the terms of practice, from the moment until the end of the final crash of avijja, you do always the same thing. So how can you call yourself better than the other person? Or more experienced than the other person? But we do it. So somebody comes there, you know, we have to teach him. I mean, you know, we've been here, you know, at least for 5 weeks or maybe 5 months or 5 years. So we have to teach that other person. We don't even know where he comes from. Maybe he's much more cleverer than we. Or maybe his practice is much deeper than ours. We don't know and we don't want to know because we think, we believe that we are better. It's master. Avijja is a master of trickery. And don't ever underestimate it. He constantly tricks us. Constantly. And most of the times it tricks us with memory and thoughts. In memory and thoughts, if you look at the three armies of avijja, that's greed, hate and delusion. And memory and thoughts is that strong army of delusion. But before we are able to see the army of delusion, one of the strong powers or strongholds of avijja, we have to first eliminate greed and hate. Because greed and hate are in front of this army. Look at it in this way. You know, greed and hate are the forerunners. And then behind that is delusion, you know, that manipulates greed and hate. I mean, if we are not destroying greed and hate, how can we see the force that is manipulating greed and hate? And if we destroy greed and hate, and then destroy it, yeah, then we see delusion, and then we destroy delusion. Then we see the master of the puppet string, who arranged all three armies, and that is nothing else than avijja. So before we can even experience avijja, we have to get rid of delusion. And the master, then, is there, reveals itself. So people who don't want to do investigation of the body, and why investigation of the body? Because that's the pot where the plant of greed and hate roots in. So if you don't destroy the pot, so that the plant of greed and hate, you know, has to die, I mean every kind of plant who is not in the pot, you know, who is dried out, will die. So we have to destroy the pot. And the pot of this plant of greed and hate is this very body. I mean, it doesn't help, you know, to kill yourself or kill this body. That's not helpful. Destroying the pot means destroying our illusion about this body. I mean, just the illusion. Now you look in the mirror and you think you're very beautiful. Or you think you're handsome. Or you think you're young. Or you think you're old. I mean, take off your skin. And then see what is there underneath. And young and old doesn't make any sense anymore. Even women and female and male doesn't make sense. Because all the features, you know, for being male or female are removed the moment we remove our skin. There's just flesh and blood. The true body. The skin, as thin as it might be, you know, is the deceiver for all these things. The skin, the hair, and the teeth. The nails. I mean, they are so important things. That's why it is given to a monk these five things. The hair of the head, the hair of the body, the skin, the nails, and the teeth are there for investigation of the body as an outside part. And we place so much importance in our world on these things. Fingernails, toenails, hair, hairstyle, skin. I mean skin, but skin in itself is the big deceit. The moment we just strip ourselves off of skin, you know, there is no likes of this body, I can guarantee. Cut it off and turn it off and see what is underneath it. I mean for a monk it's essential to know this kind of practice. The moment raga tanha comes up, or in other words, sexual desire comes up, now we have to have a tool to not fall into this trap. So the moment, you know, you completely desire one thing or you desire a woman, you know, you rip her off the skin and the desire is gone. There's no way that you desire a heap of blood and flesh. It's gone. The moment you turn on the skin again, it's there again. The desire comes again. So it is the form. It is the kind of the skin. It is the way the skin, and it is the way, you know, the hair, and it's the teeth, and so on. It's all these five outer things. That's why the Lord Buddha gave it to the younger monks to investigate. What happens to the teeth? You know, they rot away. The hair grows gray. Or falls out. But everything comes underneath a filth. A mess of blood. And pus. Muscles and flesh. I mean, you call this, you know, just strip yourself off the skin. And you call that yourself? Is that what you really like? And then look in your stomach, you know, open your stomach. Is that what you like? What you call yourself? You know, just take it out with your hands and look at it. Is that what you call yourself? If you call just the skin yourself, you know, just take the skin off and leave the mess. Blow it up with and let it drift like a balloon. I mean, I don't know how, I really don't know what to say, you know, how to get you into the mood. I mean, if you really decide on going, you know, to the end of dukkha, fight for your freedom, for the inner freedom. The inner freedom, and remember this, doesn't mean outer freedom. You're not free of the body unless you die. The inner freedom, you're free of all emotions. You're free of dukkha. But you're not free of this body yet. When you take, it takes the body to die. And you're not free of the five khandhas. Because as long as you go there, as long as you live, you know, you still have these five khandhas. So memories will come up and thoughts will come up. But there's nobody behind them anymore. Nobody using them as a tool, you know, to deceive you. Into believing. So there will be still unpleasant feelings, because feelings are still there. But there is no dukkha. That is the liberty of the mind. I mean, it's just equanimous. It's just whatever arises, you know, it knows it arises, whatever it ceases, it knows it ceases. But he's not attached to it. He doesn't like this thing to arise or that thing to cease. It just observes it, you know, just like we sit at the beach, you know, observe the waves, tides coming in and tides going out, or waves coming in and waves going out. And whatever is on the waves, you know, we see. But we are not fooled into believing this is this, or this is that, or this is our dream ship, or this is our hell. I mean, we just see it as it is. That's the liberty. We're not having any burdens. And especially not having any greed and hate, that is the picture. Greed and hate. I mean, these are hammers, huh? These are elephants, you know, constantly trampling on our heart. Greed and hate. Once greed and hate are gone, you know, we still have these mosquitoes that constantly sting our heart. But compared to an elephant, you know, that make a gasp, you know, it's very different. And only when the avijja is gone, then also the mosquito is gone. There's nothing that will perturb our heart anymore. That doesn't mean that we are dead vegetables. I mean, just look at Lungta Mahaboy, you know, do you think he's a dead vegetable? He's been an arahant for over 50 years. Now it's close to 60 years.